Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. It's the thrid today, the thrid of Feb, the third, the turd, whatever you want to say. It is the third day in, I believe, and it's another nice sunny one so far. Well, it's a sunny morning, frosty, bit chilly, big jumper on, and a woolly on top of that. I need to hoover the floor. I'm not going to hoover it during the show, but I do need to hoover the floor today. It's looking a bit messy over the weekend. Julia and I last night, we don't watch much stuff on the laptop. We don't watch the television or anything like that. We watched Kind Hearts and Coronets from 1949 with Dennis Price and Alec Guinness. Of course I've seen it many, many moons ago, and it was yeah, it's a sort of gentle film of murder, murder and greed. It made us smile, and so we watched that last night, which was a bit of fun. I do enjoy these old movies, the old black and white English Ealing comedy types, because they're just of a time when everything looked really nice. Wait, come on, stop pulling at the furniture. Bloody cat. I'm sure in the middle of the night you're doing it all night long, aren't you, you swine? But yes, that's it's just that thing when it just looks so lovely, and then you look at today, some 80, 90 years later, and you think, oh gosh, what have you done with the world? What have we done to it? It's not as beautiful. We're all charging about like mad people in cars and things, which of course they were doing in 1949, of course, but not as much. Not as many cars on the roads, not as many people travelling about, and men going to work, women staying at home. Now everybody goes to work, it seems, and the cost of living is so high, isn't it strange? You know, soon you'll get the kids to go out to work. Well, it's interesting that, just on expressing that, because in rural villages and towns you go back a couple of hundred years, and of course the kids did get to work when they were about 8, 9, 10. They were starting to be apprenticed or work on the farm as stone collectors or bird scarers and all of that. But the farm, the life was much more integrated, and the community was much more integrated, as we know. Anyway, there it is. So yes, a bit tidying up, because I've kind of over the weekend was working on my book, which has gone very well. I think I'm on something like 106,000 words. Now this is, as I said many times, this is all going to come shrinking down, but as so many bits and pieces occur to me, and I just write these little sequences and think, right, okay, actually that needs to be much earlier now, as one gets a better grip on the book. It's so different to writing the other books I've done. I think because I'm trying to get these truth bombs into it, and so the plot is it's important. It's important, and things need to unfold, and the characters need to be developed, and all of those sort of things. But it's just a bit different from the hero in peril type book. In fact, somebody sent me a book, which I need to, I started to read yesterday. We're still reading the R.F. Delderfield, by the way, which is so beautifully written, and the plot so wonderfully diverse and unfolding and all of that. And I made sure I ordered the second two books. One is called Post of Honour, and The Green... something or other, I can't remember now, the green... anyway, the saga in three, a trilogy, in three novels, obviously. The Green, what was it called, Grenadier? The Green something? Anyway, I had to make sure I got those now, very important. Sounds like the... What are you up to? Do you want to go out? I opened the door for you earlier and you didn't seem to want to go out. Come on in. Come on. Sometimes it helps if I go out for the cat. It's a nice day. You've probably got ablutions to do. I can tell you the logs look very lovely in the garden. I need one of the diversions. Sorry, just putting stuff into the recycling bin. My log store, there's two that are full, the little shelf units or the stacks. And there's one that's half full. I've still got one full bag to stack up, which I shall do as much as I can on that and then perhaps bring some logs into the house. You're not coming out. You are funny. So I shall do that today as well. I've got writing. I've got a bit of drawing. I'm enjoying the drawing. And I'm tempted to give it a go to do the cover. Let's just get some hot water in the washing because there's some cups and glasses in there. And but sitting down inside, so you know, a walk into the seafront. I'd like to get up on the downs really and go for a much longer walk, but there's too many things to do that I want to get done. Possibly a conversation with somebody who wants to come on the show that I need to have, and a few domestic chores around the house, and all of that. Lots of bits, you know, beginning of the week, isn't it? You sort of do bits and bobs, don't you, at the beginning of the week, get everything into position. Actually, there's some more. An old egg cup, an old tea carton, and a pot that needs to go into the recycling. Let's turn this water off. But I can tell you the relief of having enough logs. So if it's cold, I shall probably this morning just get the fire going, take the edge off once I've hoovered and done my video and stuff. There we go. Tidy up the garden a bit because there's bits of chips and stuff, wood chips, all over the place. Hello. She's shutting the door in my face.
Oh, it's bloody cold out there.
I know. Sorry about that. So that's the order of the day, I think. I'm going to make another hot drink. Would you like another hot drink?
Yes, please.
Have you got time?
Yes.
just need to wash up, ladies and gentlemen. You catch us in that position. Oops. So I had a strange dream. Can't really remember all of it now, but something to do with frying up bacon. And the bacon was awash in a frying pan, as if you were boiling it, but in a frying pan of fat. It did look nice.
So it's like frying it more like chips.
Yes, exactly that.
How strange.
I know. Dreams are very odd, aren't they?
At least you remember yours.
Yeah, Julia doesn't always remember yours, do you?
I think I might have put a block on them years ago, and I don't know how to undo it.
If anybody knows, do let them know. Send an email. sorry about this, it's got to be done.
Yep.
What else? Had a nice coffee yesterday, but that's not exactly riveting news, is it?
What was the film we watched last
night? Kind Hearts and Coronets. Yeah. I mentioned that, 1949.
That was interesting.
Yeah. Alec Guinness plays all the
main characters. The
characters that get murdered. The family of
arch enemy. Maybe no, that's not quite right.
No, it's just a sort of aristocratic family, and Dennis Price has to. He is in the lineage to become the Duke. I think it was a Duke, was he?
Yes.
And in order to get there, somebody quips, "Well, you know, it'd be all right if you murdered them all," and he starts to do that so that he can impress a girl, Joan Greenwood, who sounds remarkably like Fenella Fielding, I found. Julia thought sounds like Felicity Kendall. But anyway, 1949. So that's really the basis of the film. And Alec Guinness plays all the different characters. And it's all done very charming, you know. It's all very charming. which is lovely. And in a way, I hope that my book is going to be relatively charming, but, you know. So I was telling you about this other book, wasn't I? Yes, so somebody sent me this other book called The Karma something. Can't remember now, and I read the first few pages. And it Karma Con by somebody called Rad. What's his name?
Johnson.
Rad Johnson. My name's Rad Johnson. And it's a sort of an action thriller based on an ex-army chap who is out in one of these Afghanistan-type wars, Gulf Wars, whatever. And I think he comes back, he's suffering from PTSD or something from having killed a Taliban child accidentally, who was, well, not accidentally, on purpose, because he didn't know the kid was trying to kill him as they'd been trained as soldiers. You know, it's very sad, isn't it? That's sort of based on a true thing. Anyway, I don't know any more than that because I haven't read any more. But he is a viewer, and he, you know, first time writer as far as I can see, and he's trying to get the book out, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know if it relates to what's going on in the world and whether there's truth bombs in there and all of that. But it struck me there's a lot of people who are writing books. There's a lot of people send me send me physical copies, or they send me PDFs, which I can't read. I'm not going to sit at the computer and read a book, especially a lengthy book. It's bad. If I've got to read a couple of pages, that's fine. But if I've got to read, you know, 100, 200 page book, whether it's factual or a novel, no, not on the computer, I'm not doing it. I can't do it. I find my eyes blur over. It's just... Oh, hello, the cat wants to go. Does he want to go out now?
No.
Oh, he does.
He's had a cuddle now with his mama.
Oh, good. And that sent him outside.
Oh, shut up.
No, I don't mean it like that. So it's good because people are writing about these subjects, and I think getting it on paper is much better than having it in a digital format, because a digital format can all be erased. Paper is much harder to erase, because you can have copies all over the place, hidden in lofts and things. Unless, of course, they use these dew weapons and just eradicate everybody and all of that. What a weird world we are living in, ladies and gentlemen. What a strange time to be alive. And one hopes that it's going to be... Ooh, pans out in a nice way. Yeah, anyway, so I've washed up now. I feel a bit better having...
Thank you.
Done something. No, it's all right. I'm going to go and sit down in the other room. And I'm going to tell you something about England that you didn't know. Oh, look at all this dusty stuff here. I'll just kick it.
I thought you were just going to kick it underneath that shelf. And I was like, oh, don't do that.
No, I've put it there so I can give it a good... When I get the Hoover out, I'll suck it up. You just suck it up, love.
Suck it up, sunshine.
Now, where's my book on... Ooh. I never knew that about England.
Is that it there? No, that's Kilvert's diary.
Mm. We've got piles of things here.
You moved it. No.
Hunting about here.
It was kept over here for a while, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Where did the books from there?
Oh, wait a minute, is it over here?
It might be under Karmacon.
And that's not it.
No. Oh, underneath those, is it underneath those? No? No. Nope, it's not the five lessons, right? Book. What, this one?
Yes, that's the one.
Because it's the same colour as the single-seater settee.
Ah, yes, it disappeared.
It was not very easily seen underneath the laptop charging cable.
Right. So, I'm going to open this at random, and randomly we are...
Paddington Hall...
In Oxfordshire. Where are we?
I was Headington Hill Hall.
Headington Hill Hall. What a lovely looking house.
Georgian?
Yes, it must be some sort of Georgian type building.
Like coach house or something. No, more than that.
So, just trying to find, is that the beginning of a...
Pulling thread.
Yes, Headington Hill Hall, but Oxfordshire. Yes, sorry about this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just trying to see if... Right, okay, so here we go. One well-known resident of the town in Oxford, presumably, this is Oxford, is it? Headington was the tycoon Robert Maxwell, 1923 to 91, who rented Headington Hill Hall from Oxford City Council and lived there for 32 years until his mysterious death in 1991. I remember that on the boat. We all think he was murdered. He's supposed to have fallen out, didn't he? But anyway, he called the 51-room house, built in 1824 for the Morrill Brewing family, the best council house in the country. Yeah, well, he was renting it using the pensioners' pension fund, the swine. Maxwell ran his Pergamon Press. Is that how it's pronounced? Pergamon Press from the stables.
Pergamon?
Pergamon, is it? Pergamon. Oh, yeah, it could be Pergamon.
I'd have expected a double M in that for Pergamon. I don't know.
The main road from London to Oxford passes under an ornate iron footbridge in 1877 to link two sections of the estate. The house is now part of the Oxford Brookes University and can be visited by appointment.
By appointment only.
Edward the Confessor. Why am I looking at that and not being able to pronounce? Say it. 1005 to 1066. Was born in Islip, on the edge of Otmoor, to the northeast of Oxford. So there we are, just if you didn't know that. And behind the Magdalen College, Deer Park, it is a very expensive one, in the churchyard of St. Cross lies the author of The Wind in the Willows, Kenneth Graham, 1859 to 1932. He's buried in the same grave as his son, Alistair. They do murmur and mumble because Mole comes in and so does Ratty and says, shift over a bit, you're in the bloody way. The tales of the riverbank folk that became The Wind in the Willows are made up as bedtime stories for Alistair and were published in 1908. While an undergraduate at Oxford, Alistair committed suicide by lying down on a railway track, and a tragedy from which Graham never recovered. Alistair was thought to have possessed many of the excessive characters found in Toad. Maple Durham House, a beautiful red brick Elizabethan house on the River Thames near Reading, was the original for Toad Hall. Didn't Matey say his house was
yes.
Sir? What's his name? What was his name? Julian Rose.
That's it.
Said that his house was the, yes.
Inspiration for.
Maple Durham House, a beautiful red brick. Or maybe that's what it's called. And he was a, wasn't he an ancestor of Toad, the original Toad?
Yes.
But yes, how horrible. So Kenneth Graham goes and lies in the same hole, grave, that his son clearly sliced in two by a train. Nice. It's funny what you read, isn't it? It is funny what you read. Just one more and then we'll finish. Buried nearby in the same churchyard is writer and theatre critic Kenneth Turin? Tynan? Tynan? Don't know. 1927 to 1980. In 1965... Oh, Tynan, maybe it is. Tynan, Tynan, who knows. In 1965, Mouth and Obscenity on Television... Sorry, in 1965, he was the first person ever to mouth an obscenity on television. He also devised the nude musical O Calcutta for the West End. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. So there you go. You never knew that about Britain, did you? I'm just looking at this carpet and it is absolutely disgusting. I should go and get it. I probably need to empty the Hoover. Do you do that? Have you got a Hoover that you constantly need emptying because it sucks up so much? Probably not,
yes.
Because you probably live in nice, clean houses.
My vacuum has to be emptied every day before I use it.
Does it?
Yes.
It just...
Oh, well, after I use it. I do it after I use it so that it's ready to use it.
Yes. So it sucks up so much.
But then I have two boys. Yep,
two boys.
And three female cats, one of whom is a long furred.
Oh, yes.
Cat.
A long furred.
Long fur. Yeah.
Yeah.
Long hair.
Long hair cat. So what's everywhere. That, a tortoise on the road?
Yes. snapping tortoise.
Does it get killed?
A turtle. No, someone's saving it.
Oh, it's a snapping one.
And they're managing not to get snapped themselves.
Gosh, what? How awful. They're not a nice ones then to have. They snap at you.
Well, yes, it's defence.
Oh,
they wouldn't have lived as long as they...
No, I dare
say. Survived as long as they did without that.
And are they based in England? Is that
no,
in England?
No, they're American.
Oh, American.
Yeah.
Snapping.
I don't think we have any native turtles and tortoises here. We have a whole ton
of domestic ones.
Of terrapins.
Yes.
From these.
In the ponds.
Yeah, yeah. From that big fad that went on. And they got released into all the ponds. But apart from that... Oh, look, he's pulling...
What's he pulling off the leg? Are they ticks or something?
Yeah, I think they're parasites.
Parasites on this leg. We're looking at Julia's just put her phone on, and there's a snapping turtle.
Getting rescued and helped.
Yes. Anyway.
Yeah, well, if you had lots of parasites on your legs like that, you'd be snapping too.
Well, that's very true, and I would hope that you would be removing them from me.
Of course I would.
So there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening. That's set you up for the day, isn't it? And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Till then, take care. Bye-bye.